And that is who we praise. We praise God. We thank God for another successful year of Wake Up the World Young Adult Conference. As Drew mentioned, this is kind of the Wake Up the World weekend. This has been year 9 that we have done this. And if some of you are on social media, I posted on Friday night. If you had told me 9 years ago that this idea that Sam and I had for this Young Adult Conference would still be going and growing, and the Spirit still having an impact in young people's lives 9 years later, I wouldn't have believed you. But here we are. And the proof is in the weekend every single year that God shows up and moves in such powerful ways. Before we dive into our message today, I want to, again, welcome you to Wake Up the World. You get your free pass into this closing session today. And I want to start by referencing back in 2006, there was a Christian band. They were called Down Here. Most people probably never heard of them. They had a very specific niche of Christian music. Their front man was Mark Martell. And if you follow the band Queen, Mark Martell was one of the front runners to actually end up being on their tour in replacement of Freddie Mercury, because he has got an incredible voice. And they released a song back in 2006, and it posed the question in the chorus saying, "Oh, can anybody show me the real Jesus?" And the song talked about how Jesus was, maybe Jesus is on the street corner, maybe he's a hitchhiker, maybe he is in business formal wear. It doesn't matter. Can someone show me the real Jesus? Because the world has painted this image of who Jesus is, and they just want the real one. And this is what we've been looking at Wake Up the World this year, is we've been asking the question of who is Jesus? Who is the real Jesus? How many of you, when you walked into the service today, noticed there wasn't a clock available in the foyer? Okay, in the first service, only one person noticed it. So the 6 of you, congratulations. If you didn't notice it, when you go back out, turn around and take a look. Because what you're going to see above those doors is a big banner that says, "Jesus is dot, dot, dot." And if you get up close, in all the little print around it, you can see the ways that those in attendance this weekend see Jesus. That he's a teacher. He is the first love. He is a friend. He is a comfort. He is their everything. This is what we were talking about, is who is Jesus. Because in a world where many voices are vying for our attention, one question remains at the heart of our faith, and that is, who is Jesus? He's this figure that has shaped history and transformed countless lives and continues to be a source of hope today, and yet the world continues to paint this negative picture of who he is. And his name has ended up marred in controversy. But beyond the opinions and interpretations, we must ask ourselves, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to me? But better yet, who is Jesus according to the Scriptures? Because this is not a question about a theory or speculation. Instead, it's a question that demands personal reflection and life-changing implications. And so with this question in mind, we dove into the Scriptures and we had each of our speakers answer the question of, who is Jesus to you? Friday night, we got to host Pastor Nathan Schwint from Glad Tidings Pentecostal Church in Perth, and he came and shared about how Jesus to him is our Messiah and our Creator, but then he posed a question back, who does he say that we are? Because what he was trying to say is that if you see Jesus in this way, how is that impacting how you think he sees you? Looking at Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. Saturday morning, Dave Mason from Silver Lake came and shared from John 16, 33 about how to him, Jesus is his everything. Saturday afternoon, we hosted Julia Beasley from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. And she shared with us her work that she does with the EFC in policy work, especially as it relates to how they are responding to human trafficking here in Canada. And looking at the angle of how Jesus cares for the vulnerable, for the ones that society has pushed aside. We too are to care for the vulnerable as well. And last night, we wrapped up that section of our weekend with Pastor Olivia Phillips, a fellow Wesleyan pastor from Newington Church, where she shared how Jesus is love. And we should then show that same love to others, looking at the story of the woman at the well. And today, as we wrap up Wake Up the World 2025, as we look into God's Word together, I want you to each ask yourself the question of who is Jesus to me? Based on everything that you have read, everything that you understand about Jesus, who is he to you right now? This could be one thing now in this season and something completely different in another season. But what I want to make very clear right off the start, Jesus doesn't change. We're reminded in Hebrews 13 that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. However, even though he doesn't change, based on our circumstances we are going through, we may see him through a specific lens at this moment. If I think back to December of this past year, November, December, our family was going through a lot of different challenges, whether that was financially or health related. And in that season, God was a comfort. God was a provider. We've come out of that. We've had this big weekend. And after today, God is going to be rest. God is my rest. When I don't have anything left to give, he pours back in to keep going for him. Who is Jesus to you at this moment in your life? As we look today, I want us to look at the three fundamental kind of foundational values that every other characteristic of Jesus is based on. And the way I look at this is there are these three are kind of the foundations of the building. And if you can't grasp those three things that Jesus is, because those three things will lead you into a relationship with him. Once you're in a relationship with him, then we can start seeing Jesus as a teacher, as a friend, as a comfort, as a leader, a shepherd. But we can't see any of that without this foundation built. And so I want to build this foundation with you. So let's look at our first answer to the question of who is Jesus. And the first one is Jesus is the Son of God. And as I said, we're not looking at theory and speculation. We're going to have scripture to back this up. So this is found in Matthew 16, 13 to 16. If you have your Bibles, have your Bible app, and you want to follow along, that's where we're going to be for the first bit of this message. 16 verse 13 reads, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they replied, 'Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am?' And Peter responds boldly, saying, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'" This profound statement reveals Jesus' true identity to his disciples and to us today. That he is not merely just a good teacher, a prophet, or a moral leader. He is the Son of God. And this is probably the most popular answer that gets missed by our world today. I can't count how many times I've listened to a podcast or watched a YouTube interview where the interviewer sits down with someone who may have at one point followed Jesus, maybe they never have, and they ask them this question, say, "Who was Jesus?" And they'll respond with things like, "Oh, he was just a historical figure," much like, you know, much like the presidents of the past, the kings of the past. Others will say, "Oh, he was a teacher. That's what he was." No, he was nothing more than just a prophet, or he was a good leader, had good morals. But did you notice the piece that was wrong in the interviewer's question? He asked them, "Who was Jesus?" And that's when they respond, "Well, he was this and this and this." And while those answers are great, they're all attributes of who Jesus was, they've missed the vital key that Jesus was the Son of God. Better yet, they've actually missed the proper tense. Because Jesus wasn't just the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He was the Son of God then, still today, and is still going to have that same title for eternity. Jesus has been around since the beginning and will be there for eternity. And where do we see evidence of this? Go to John 1, 1 to 3. It reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Jesus was with God from the beginning. And better yet, he's still there sitting at his right hand until the day he comes again, as we see in Acts 1, 6 to 11. It says, "They gathered around him and asked, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has gone from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Jesus is God's Son, and he was sent by him to reveal himself to humanity and to share the good news of his Father. And one day he will come again to gather up those who have called him Lord of their lives to be with him in eternity. But understand that Jesus isn't just a messenger of God. He is God himself, revealed to us in a way that we can understand and relate to. Because through Jesus, God comes near to us, showing us his love, his grace, and his truth. Jesus' divinity is the cornerstone of our faith. Being both fully God and fully man, united in one person. Because when we encounter Jesus, we encounter God. And when we see Jesus' compassion and power and sacrifice, we see the very heart of God revealed to us through this. As you think on this, I want you to ask yourselves again, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is? Is he merely a figure of history? Is he just the Son of God? Or is he a personal Savior of your life? To know Jesus is to know God. And to know God is to enter into a relationship with the one who created you, loves you, and desires to transform your life. So the first is that Jesus is the Son of God. The second foundational truth of who is Jesus: Jesus is the Savior, the one sent to save us. Now, this second fundamental answer to our question is found back in Matthew 16, same passage we just read. Peter confesses, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." See, in this short declaration, Peter is recognizing Jesus as the Savior of the world, the one sent by God to bring salvation. We see this again in John 14, verse 6. Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." If you're looking at that passage and you're thinking, how does this have anything to do with Jesus being the Savior? I don't really see it. Just look at that last line: "No one can come to the Father except through me." Hold that in the back of your head. Let's jump to Matthew 27, Jesus' death. Verse 50 says, "Then Jesus shouted out again and released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart." That's how that passage shares that Jesus is the Savior. because no one can come to the Father except through me. If you think back to the way the temple was set up, there was a curtain that separated, you know, the outer courts from the innermost place called the Holy of Holies. And this place was only accessible by the high priest, only on special occasions, and they were the only ones who could atone for the sins of the people. And with Jesus' death on the cross, he literally rewrote the rule book. He rewrote history in that one moment. No longer was there a high priest needed, for the temple curtain was torn in two, symbolizing the new covenant that was now in place, that all would have direct access to the Father, being God, through Jesus, his Son. And all of this came about because of Jesus' death on the cross, taking on the appearance of a man and being obedient to death like a lamb to the slaughter. Just Jesus became the Savior of the world. And in this, we realize that he is the only way to salvation. Jesus became the bridge between humanity and God. And this is not a claim of exclusivity for the sake of arrogance. It's the claim of a loving God who desires to rescue each of us from sin, from death, and the separation that we have from him. Let that sink in. There was a moment in your life that you were separated from God. This God who loves you, who wants to be in that relationship, was separated from you. And if it wasn't for Jesus' death on the cross, we would still be separated today from him. And it's only through his death and resurrection that we are restored and offered this free gift of grace. See, Jesus' purpose in coming to earth as a Savior, he offered justification in that moment, which means that through faith in his atoning death on the cross, we are no longer held by the chains of our sins, but we are forgiven. We are made right with God, and he has restored what was broken. We no longer live as slaves to sin, but are declared righteous because of Jesus' sacrifice. In Colossians 1 that Lynn just read for us, verse 19 to 20, Paul writes that God was pleased to have the fullness dwell in Jesus and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And the incredible thing about all of this is that Jesus' saving work is available to everybody. It doesn't matter what you have done in your past. It doesn't matter what you are going to do in your future. It is available to all. His sacrifice is sufficient for all sins of the past, present, and future. And you, if you have not received this gift of salvation, Jesus is calling you today to trust in him and experience his forgiveness. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know, I haven't had a relationship with God before, but I want to make that commitment. See, God died for your sins. He became your Savior. And as long as you ask for forgiveness of those sins, claim him as Lord of your life, you too can be in relationship with him, no longer separated. But maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I knew all that. I've been walking with God. Well, at least I was. But in the past couple of weeks, maybe past couple of years, things haven't always gone so well and you've walked away. What would it look like to come back? Or maybe you're thinking, I am actually following God, but are you really? Are you daily living in the freedom that you have in him that he offers you? Are you sharing this good news, though, with others? One of the cool things of every year at Wake Up the World that we love is Sam and I like to sit down and look for what we like to call the God moment that happens each year. The moment where you can see God show up in an extraordinary way. In the past, that has manifested in just hearing testimonies of how one speaker's words brought somebody clarity in something in their life. That could be the way that connections that have been made at this weekend that wouldn't have been made anywhere else have ended up going beyond the weekend, and now a small group has formed and is supporting this single mom over here that they met at the conference. That's a God moment. This year, as we do most years, we give the chance every Saturday night for people to make a new commitment or a recommitment to Christ, to choose Him as their Savior, to make Him Lord of their lives. And last night, we had 7 people recommit or give their lives to Christ for the first time. This is God's saving work for all. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the third foundational truth is that Jesus is the Lord, the one who reigns over all. For this piece of scriptural evidence, we're going to go to Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Jesus is not just a Savior. He's not just the Son of God. He is the Lord and King over all creation. Everything was created through Him and for Him. And Jesus is the sovereign ruler of the universe, and His authority extends over all things that are both in the here and the not yet. And if we were to look further into Scripture on this topic, Revelation 19:16, Jesus is described as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this title that has been given to Him, it points to the future return of Christ, when He will establish His eternal kingdom, judging both the living and the dead, and making all things new. See, while Jesus humbled Himself in His first coming to be the Savior, fully surrendered as a servant, He will now return in full splendor and glory and majesty as the reigning King. Not the returning King, the reigning King, because He has, is, and will always be. But to me, I feel this is the one that we struggle with the most of the foundational truths of God. See, we know Jesus died for our sins as our Savior. We know He was the Son of God. And while we may say that we know He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, are we actually living out this understanding in our lives? For many, I would say not always. I'm putting myself in there too. I myself find that there are times that I'm forgetting of His sovereign rule and reign in my life. Because if Jesus is truly Lord of my life, then He is worthy of complete obedience. This means understanding that when you give your life over to Christ to be Lord over your life is no longer yours. You have a higher purpose, a higher calling. You instead are surrendered to His will. And we are all called to live under His lordship, allowing Him to direct our decisions, our relationships, our actions, our speech. But are we doing this? Could you say in full confidence today that every aspect of your life has been fully surrendered and handed over to God as your Lord today? Or could you say, I've given Him control over this, but this stuff over here, I'm going to hold on to that. What would it take for you to release full control of everything in your life to Him as your Lord? Are you living with the awareness that He reigns over all? See, when we accept that Jesus is the only Son of God as our Savior, He saved us, extending us this gift of grace, tearing down that barrier between us and God. And when we live our lives fully surrendered to His lordship over us, only then can we truly experience all of who Jesus is, because that goes beyond these things in our lives. Once we have that foundation laid of Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is the Lord, then we can start to have that relationship with him. And then we see him as our teacher, as our comfort, as our friend, as a shepherd, as our everything. Jesus will always be there. He will never change. Our viewpoint of him may change based on the circumstance that we find ourselves in. But these three foundational truths will always remain the same, that he is the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world, and he is the Lord of lords. As I said, this weekend we asked each of our speakers to answer the question, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? While you ponder that for yourself today, I want to let you in on another thing that we do at Wake Up the World. It started about 3-4 years ago. As part of our Friday night kickoff party, we invite Christian ministries that are local, regional, national, and global to come set up a table and get connected with the young adults. That way, they can continue to make an impact beyond this weekend, whether that's locally, nationally, globally. And we've had groups like Silver Lake come out. This year we had Camp Carith, Silver Lake, the John Festival that happens here in Ottawa. We had Teen Challenge of Eastern Ontario and Compassion Canada. And today I've asked Jeff Hackett from Compassion Canada to come and share. And even though we didn't make the vendors all share and answer the question at the event, I wanted him to answer it today for you. So as you think of who is Jesus to me, this may be an inspiration to you as well, to see who Jesus is to somebody else. And so I've asked him to come and share of who Jesus is to him and who Jesus is to Compassion Canada today.
Good morning, everyone. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to Compassion? And I think fundamentally, who is Jesus to Jeff Hackett? Jesus is our host. Our host, the one who invites us in. There's a scripture that I draw close to when I try to really draw on the characteristics of Jesus, and that's found in Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable, tells a story of a host, someone who's putting on a great banquet, a feast. I don't know if there's any of you that like to host dinner parties or have people over to your home to be hospitable, and maybe you cook a nice roast or smoke a brisket or whatever it might be. My name is Jeff. My email is jhackett@compassion.com. As you can see, I enjoy food. But you can imagine, as any good host, they want to invite people over to their house. And so Jesus tells a story about this master who's putting on this great feast, and he sends out all the invites to everyone who he thinks should be at the table. Everyone who he thinks should be at this dinner party. As he sends out the invites, you can imagine they're just so beautiful. They're written not by me, but by somebody who is not left-handed. And everybody gets these invites, and then it's time for the dinner party to take place. And everyone who was invited suddenly came up with excuses of why they couldn't attend this banquet. They came up with every excuse imaginable. I just got married. I bought new land. I have a new cow, or whatever it might be. And the host was furious, so he said to his servant, "Go quickly." The sense of urgency to ensure that the dinner table and was filled with people. Go quickly into the streets and the alleyways and invite. And here it is, the poor, the broken, the hurting, the lost, the disenfranchised. Everyone who you meet, invite them to this table because I've prepared such a great feast. See, Jesus is the ultimate host because he invites us to the table. He welcomes us to the table, no matter where we might find ourselves in this journey of life. That's what's incredible about the table of Christ, isn't it? It is inclusive, not exclusive. It invites every tribe and tongue and nation to come and sit and partake and be a part of what he's prepared. But what I love about this scripture is a servant, that he instructs his servant to go quickly into the urban parts of this world, into the downtown parts of Ottawa, into the alleyways. But then the servant comes back and he says, I've invited everyone, and the master turns to him and this is it. Yet there's still room for more. This idea that the mission of inviting as many people as we can to be a part of what Christ has prepared is never done. There's this continuum. And so he says, go into the hills and the valleys and the countryside. And it reminds me that we serve a God of not only the God who loves the urban context and the communities, but he loves the suburban parts, the countryside. He is a God for everyone and for every place and every nation. And so how does this relate to compassion? Because I believe that compassion is on this mission and on this ministry to go as quick as we can, to reach as many children as we can, to release them from poverty in Jesus' name. Because once you believe and have those core foundations, as Pastor Jesse talked about this morning, you begin to understand the vast and the complexities and the beautiful characteristics of who Christ is. And so for us here at Compassion, he is our host. And so we want to be a part of his ministry. We want to be a part of his mission, reaching out to the forgotten, to the least of these, to those who will never, ever pay us back. Because I don't know about you, I find myself sitting at the table of grace, love, and forgiveness, and I'm partaking in something, in a meal that I could never, ever pay on my own. And Jesus says, I've paid it all. So we are on this mission. We're on this ministry. Currently, right now, we see about 2.3 million children part of our compassion program. And that is amazing, and that's a lot of kids. But you know what? There's still room for more. At Compassion, we are committed. We are child-focused, unapologetically child-focused. We are Christ-centered, that Jesus is the center of everything that we do, that every child in our program has an opportunity to hear about the love of God. Whether they choose to accept Christ into their heart, we pray that they do. But you know what? Sometimes they don't. But that doesn't mean we stop ministering to them. And we're church-based. Without the local church in the some 29 countries where we are represented, our compassion centers can't do what they're called to do. And without the local church here in Canada, we are unable to do what we're called to do. So we invite people. We invite people like yourself and people like Sunnyside to come alongside and join us in the mission and the ministry of compassion as we are releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. Why? Because there is a sense of urgency that we need to be about God's business. And we need to focus on what God deems as important: the broken, the lost, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the disenfranchised. That's who we are ministering to. And what is humbling is that Jesus invites us to be a part of it. How incredible is that? Whether here locally or globally, that Christ invites you and I to be a part of his mission moving forward. So I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Following this service, I'll be in the foyer, and you can stop by the table. There are a couple things that you might want to pick up. First thing is our five things card, five things that you will find important about compassion. That's there for you to grab. Hear about Rhea, one of our Canadian compassion employees that was a recipient of compassion in her country of Philippines. Pick that up and read about how compassion has made a difference in her life. And if you're interested in volunteering with Compassion, we have that as well. But more importantly than all of those is this. We want to give you the opportunity to come alongside and sponsor a child, a young adult for that matter, through Compassion's ministry. We specifically chose to have all young adults represented at our table this morning for sponsorship. These are students, like the students that participated in Wake Up the World, from ages 17 to 20 that are trying to finish high school. And so we want to come alongside of them and champion them in their last final years. Some of them, it's only 1 year. Some of them, it's a couple of years to say, hey, listen, you're not alone. We got you in this journey. Let's see you through to finish. And you know what? And so we want to challenge you this morning. And we have a number of them at the back of the table. And if you've never sponsored a child, maybe today is one of those days where you can discover what that is a little bit more. Or maybe you're here this morning, and like I met a person this morning who has been a part of Compassion's ministry for a number of years, and you know what it's like to sponsor a child. Well, maybe today is one of those days that you say, hey, you know what? We're going to step out in faith and maybe add another child into our mix, and we've made it pretty easy for you. But church, I don't know about you, but I want to be about God's mission. I want to be about bringing as many people as I can to the banquet table. I want to bring as many people as I can to participate and enjoy what I enjoy, God's blessings. And so let's be about his business this morning. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jesse and Pastor Drew and Sunnyside for just giving us the opportunity. But for me, Jesus is my host. And I'm thankful for that. If you'd like to learn more and to make an impact this morning in our ministry, love to chat with you and have a conversation. We're here until they turn the lights out. Until my car gets towed from being parked illegally. All right, amen.
And we just want to say thank you to Compassion Canada Silver Lake for being part of our weekend. We want to say thank you to you as a church for supporting us through prayer, for the use of the building. We promise we will put everything back as it was. But thank you for allowing us to continue to put on this event. To those that came, we had people that traveled from Toronto. That's how far this conference is now reaching. We went from 4 people our first year to over around 60 or more this year in attendance with a volunteer team of around 25. 85 people made it through the doors this weekend, and even the volunteers were impacted. And so we say thank you to those that traveled, gave of their time to be here, and we hope to see you next year because next year is the 10th anniversary of Wake Up the World. And as those that were in attendance know, we've got some big things planned, got a great lineup of speakers already booked for that, and we look forward to celebrating 10 years of God's faithfulness next year. But would you join me in prayer as we look to the conclusion of our service today? Why don't we all stand? God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you sent your Son into our world to reveal yourself to us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made in becoming the Savior of our world, the one who broke that temple curtain into to where we can now have a relationship with you, to come to you today in praise and worship, to bring our requests to you. And God, we thank you that you are the Lord who reigns over all. Even when things aren't going our way, when things look dire in this world, we can turn to you as the Lord who's reigning over all. And God, as we wrestle with this idea of who it is that you are to us today, would you reveal yourself in a new and a fresh way to each person that is gathered here today? To those watching online, would you show them who you are to them in their lives right now? And maybe somebody is here today or watching online and you're going to be new to them. God, I pray that your Spirit would be at work in them to where they would make that commitment today to make you the Lord and Savior of their life, to live a life fully surrendered to you. Lord, as we conclude today's service, as we go about our lives, would we carry who you are into our communities, into our schools, into our workplaces? Would we spread your love to all? Would we share this message of who you are and what you have done and everything that you will do with all those that we come in contact, so we can all share in your free gift of grace and salvation? We praise you for all that you are, all that you will be. In your name we pray. Amen.